So how many of you saw the news story this week about the Spider-Man of Paris? Yes. A few of you. It was awesome. Mamadou Gassama, a Malian migrant worker in France, climbed four floors on the outside of an apartment building to save a child dangling from a fourth-story apartment balcony. Gassama took less than 30 seconds to reach the boy, using the railings on each balcony to pull himself up to the next floor. Thus, the Spider-Man of Paris. That's actually a screenshot from a video. If you get online and you type in Spider-Man of Paris, you can see him actually climbing up the side of the apartment building. Not long after, when he was, do you see him now up there? It's kind of hard to see, he's about halfway up. Not long after, when he was interviewed by a news reporter, he said, "I like children. I would have hated to see him getting hurt in front of me. I ran and I looked for solutions to save him, and thank God I scaled the front of the building to the balcony." He later was interviewed by the president of France, and he said to him that the decision had been rather spontaneous. He said, "I didn't think much about it. I just climbed up, and God helped me." Now let's play a little would you ever game. Would you climb four stories on the outside of a building? Yes, raise your hand. Would you jump off a 25-foot cliff into water? Are you a water person? A few of you. Would you start up a conversation with a stranger in a public place? Yes. Ah, we got a social group here today. All right. Would you join a ride share with people you had never met before? Some of you. Oh, look at that. No, but you drive people that you've never met before, Laura. All right. Would you try that bungee jump swing at the Meridian Mall? Anyone? Have you seen that? Now, how many of you spouses, children, or friends of someone who raised their hand for any one of those thought when they raised their hand, "Yeah, you think you would do it, but I'm not sure you really would"? Right? It's a good idea in theory, but maybe not in practice. Now, how many of you couldn't quite get yourself to raise your hand yes because you were thinking, "Well, maybe," or, "Well, it depends," right? You had to think through that a little bit more. My brother likes to say that the two most powerful words in the dictionary are yes and no. They define what we love, what we will be known for, and what we will do with our lives. These words can both open doors to new places and close doors to old spaces. Yes and no begin new stories and end old ones. When you say yes or no, you give new direction to where you're going and what is still to come. Yes and no hold power. But I'm afraid too many of us live our lives hanging out somewhere in the middle of yes or no. I call it maybe later land. That's an option, we might say. Or I might. I'll think about it. If I feel like it tomorrow. If I feel like it next week. If someone asks me enough times. If I have to. Last week, we began a conversation about the amen, yes, hope rhythm of life. It's a way of moving just beyond believing in God to the practice of following Jesus in our everyday lives. We begin with naming who we are and where we are. I'm broken. I'm grateful. I feel like I have so little, or I have so much. We name all the feelings and all the places, and then we take a risk and we open our hands to Jesus and say, Here I am. I offer all I am and all I have to you. Last week, we also began the story of the day that Jesus had over 5,000 people, as Brittany reminded us, gathered around listening to him teach when he realized they were getting hungry. He and the disciples looked around to name what they had, and all they had was those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But that boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he had to make a difficult decision. Would he open his hands to Jesus, not knowing what would happen? He did. And he didn't even know very much about that Jesus teacher guy. And look what Jesus did. Here's more of the story. It's going to come up on your screen. Let's read it together, first in English, if you can, and then in Swahili, if you can. John 6, it says, "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. All right, let's try it in Swahili. Are my Swahili friends ready? Yesu akasima wakatisheni watuchini niasi niingi mahali hapo kwa watu wapatayo elfu tano wa iweza kukua chini. Yesu. All right, and the next slide. And they all ate as much as they wanted. Kila mtu kiasi akichotaka. They all ate as much as they wanted. Over 5,000 people. Now, Jim and Tricia Cross, who attend our church and serve a lot of meals here, probably were thinking, now that is a lot of food. Remember last week we talked about Jesus wanting us to live life to the full? What a beautiful picture of that. Jesus didn't limit the people to 1 loaf and 1 fish each, right? You can think of times where you've been somewhere and you're worried that the food is going to run out, so everybody's got to have just a little bit till we see if we have enough, right? They all ate until they were full. Now, I'm wondering if any logistics people have the same question I had. How did they do that distribution? Over 5,000 people. That could take forever. I mean, they didn't have tables set up in a nice serving lines. They didn't have trays. They didn't prepare ahead of time for this meal and figure out how to get everybody fed. And I know how long of a line there was just 2 weeks ago for a couple hundred people at Cromwell's farewell. That took us a while, right? If Jesus had to hand out that food one person at a time, that would have taken forever. So let's also say that he used the 12 disciples to hand the food out too. Now we got to do a little math. I don't do math in front of large groups of people in my head, so I have worked this out. You can see it on the screen. Let's just use that 5,000 number, divide it by 12 disciples and 1 Jesus. Any math geniuses have that number for me? Yeah, no. All right. Next screen. 5,000 divided by 13 would be 384.62 people each. That's still a whole lot of people. It's going to take a whole lot of time, right? So let's imagine if maybe something else happened. Let's call it math time with Jesus. What if it went like this? What if Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and divided it in half, giving it first to Peter? And what if Peter then turned around and started breaking his half in half only to look down and realize he had the full amount, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And he broke it in half and handed it to Thaddeus. I had to use Thaddeus because, you know, he's an unsung hero in the New Testament. He's like named as one of the disciples, and then you never hear about him again. So shout out to Thaddeus this week. Thaddeus is the next one to get the bread and the fish. So he takes it, he breaks it in half, the same thing again. He turns to hand it to someone else, and he looks down, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And every person, maybe, that day, got to participate in the miracle. If they received, they had a choice to turn to the other person, open their hands, and give. And once they did, they too still had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so on until everyone had more than enough. Now that is the best kind of math. What if everyone had to decide to open their hands and say, "Yes, Lord," and share their food? What if everyone had to believe that Jesus was doing something, but they also had to do something themselves? What if beyond naming and confessing where we are right now and opening our hands, we also have to listen to what God is asking us to do and do it? Years ago, a teacher told me that the Hebrew word that is translated into English as know or knowledge in our Bible means something more than just having information. I looked it up again this week in a Bible dictionary, and sure enough, my teacher was right. The Hebrew word is yada, and it appears over almost 950 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. The Bible dictionary explains it as meaning perceiving, learning, understanding, willing, performing, and experiencing. Knowledge, in Bible terms, is more than having information. It is about acting on the information you have. So if we open our hands to God and we listen to learn from him, the second half to listening is doing. If we haven't acted, then we haven't truly listened. I think this is what Jesus was illustrating in his parable about the 2 sons in Matthew 21. He said, "What do you think? A man had 2 sons. Now he came to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' 'No, I don't want to,' that son replied. But later he changed his mind and went. The father said the same thing to his other son, who replied, 'Yes, sir,' but he didn't go. Then Jesus asked, 'Which one of these 2 did his father's will?' And they said, 'The first one.'" Now, sometimes when I talk to people about this idea of listening and obeying God, they have a question. How do I listen to God? I've never heard God's voice. How does God speak? I have 2 answers. Number 1, God still speaks through the Bible. The Bible is filled with ideas of what to do and how to live our lives. Things like, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Forgive as God forgave you. Do not despise or look down on children. Serve others. Love your enemies." And let's face it, all those are not usually things we naturally do on our own. They're actions which all come from God. Which leads to number 2. The second way we can know that we've heard God's voice is when we get an idea to do good that we would not usually do. When you have an idea seemingly out of nowhere that prompts you to do something you normally wouldn't, an idea that lines up with what the Bible says, something like putting someone else first or going out of your comfort zone to help someone else, small things, selfless things for others, that's probably the voice of God speaking to you. Whenever I want to do something good for someone else that I wouldn't naturally do on my own, that is likely the Holy Spirit in me saying, "This is a good way to follow Jesus." Like the Spider-Man of Paris, Mamadou Gassamam. Are we willing to get out of our comfort zone for the sake of someone else? Not maybe, not later, not it depends, Name it, open your hands, and give up our feelings of comfort and our opinions of the way we would like it to happen. Listen to God speak, and then do it. Say yes with our actions. Say yes with our actions. Because words without actions are useless. Church attendance without life change is meaningless. Saying I love you without showing love in your actions is just words. James says it in the Bible in this way, James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Remember that abundant life? Remember the freedom that we all want? It comes from following Jesus' perfect law, from obeying the sound of the Spirit in us saying, let's go and do. It is the rhythm of amen, yes, hope. Open your hands and offer God all you are and all you have. Amen. Listen for his voice and say yes by doing what he asks you to do. Practice the rhythm of amen, yes, and you will find hope. It can change your life. This morning, we're going to respond to the message by taking communion in a prayerful way, in a different way than we've done it before. We won't always do it like this. Pastors Mike, Eric, and Justin, for the first time, Justin will a second time today. He did in the first service, and he will be doing it the first time of 11 o'clock service today. We're each going to stand at different places in the sanctuary. There will be two in the back and two up front. And after I've given the invitation, I want you just to take some time this morning to think about that amen and yes. Are your hands open and ready to receive whatever Jesus has for you, whatever he is asking for you to do? It's okay if you're not ready. I'd rather you be honest than put on a show for the rest of us. If you're not ready, know that Jesus is near to you. He loves you. He doesn't push his way in. He is patient and will answer when you call. But for those of you who are ready, I invite you to open your hands when you come, and you can come to whichever person is closest to you, and you just go up, open your hands, and the pastor will place the bread in your hands. And then you can grab a drink, a cup of the juice, and return to your seat. If you have a child near you, help guide them this morning too. They know the process. You just heard them, right? Know to go, to grow. Let's pray, and then I'll start the communion process. Lord, you know right where we are this morning, each one of us. You know what we show on the outside, and you know what's on the inside of each of us. So, Lord, as we come to you, I pray that you would help us to fully be honest before you. And, Lord, I pray you would give us courage to open our hands and receive whatever it is you have for us. And then give us courage once again to answer yes when you nudge us and tell us, this is where I'd have you to go. May we do it. Amen.